Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, October 6, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Sorry this is so late on a Sunday for y'all. A lot of y'all see this probably on Fightful Select on either really late Sunday night or really early Monday morning. The reason this is being recorded when it is because I was very, very busy this weekend. I was live in the house at WWE Bad Blood. Had a great time. I don't know if you can tell in my voice, I am exhausted tonight. I had a great time at the show. I'm going to talk about that extensively over on the Spotlight, over on the Fightful Overbooked YouTube channel. That'll be every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Please check out that show. Me and Jeremy are going to talk about my live experience at Bad Blood. And then we'll also be doing a preview for Wrestle Dream, which I'm going to be doing here as well on this show. So going to be double dipping in Wrestle Dream today. But yeah, nonetheless, a lot of stuff going on this weekend. Basically, as I mentioned, I was at Bad Blood last night. And then right after that, there was UFC 307, which I had a great time watching with my buddies. So me and my brother went to the show live for WWE, came back to my place, watched the UFC. And then this morning, my Minnesota Vikings played the 9:30 a.m. game. So on like no sleep, I went right into the Vikings game, basically, watched that. Had an awesome time, watched my Vikings go 5-0, which is great. Since I had some family over to watch the game, we watched football all day. You know how that goes. Then I'm also catching up on wrestling, stuff I missed yesterday, stuff I missed throughout the week, stuff I want to, talk about today, and some stuff that was actually live this morning, because a lot of the shows we're going to cover today were WXW events, and those took place over in Germany, over in Deutschland. Nonetheless, we're going to cover all that right here on today's show. So that is the reason this episode is being uploaded so late. It's probably going to be about midnight, 1 a.m. Eastern time when this gets uploaded to Fightful Select. So as always, I appreciate y'all for whenever you can listen to the show and all the support over the years. We are closing in. We're like a month away from being at 6 years of doing this show. And I think I've only missed, I think like two times ever, like two weeks of this show, I think, ever in those 6 years. One was when I was at Jeremy's wedding, and then the other one was when I had COVID. I mean, those are the only times I think I've ever missed doing this show. There might have been one more time, maybe. No, I don't think so. I think it was just the two. So it's wild that so much time has passed, but I love doing this show and love covering indie wrestling for you guys. And once again, I appreciate all the support over the years, and we'll get into the topics to jump on into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for IWC Super Indy 23. Got WXW, a lot of events for WXW. We got Inner Circle 16. We got the entire World Tag Team Festival, which is a three-day event that included a tournament as well. We had the Extreme Wrestling Party and Femme Fatale. So I think it was three events for the Tag Team Festival. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 6 WXW events to cover right here on today's show. Also have results for NWA 76. This show was taped a while back. We've talked about it here on the Weekender, but for those of you who remain spoiler-free, we are now at NWA 76, and I will talk about that, as well as my thoughts on the distribution of the National Wrestling Alliance, of them doing the show on X. Also going to have some spoilers, so spoiler alert, I'll put these spoilers in the timestamps and everything below, right here on Fightful Select, right underneath on the description. Just check out the timestamps if you want to move forward, the Ring of Honor spoilers, but I'll get to those towards the end of the show, and I'll wrap up today's episode with some AEW Wrestle Dream predictions, because by the time you hear me next on the Weekender, Wrestle Dream will be over. This episode, by the way, is going to be completely unedited, and I am like half delusional because I am so tired as I record this, but I wanted to make sure to get this out there for y'all, so I appreciate y'all, and I apologize in advance if this episode is a little bit sloppier than normal, if I sound like I'm half asleep. But it's because I have watched a ton of wrestling. Basically, today, while I was watching football, I watched a lot of wrestling that I had to catch up on, plus everything else I just mentioned. So let's get on into the results and jump right into IWC Super Indy 23. This show took place from Elizabeth, Pennsylvania, from Marx's Court Theater on October 5th. So technically, this was yesterday, or 2 days ago, whenever this is technically uploaded. This was yesterday over on Triller TV Plus. I'm not endorsed or sponsored by Triller TV Plus, as I always say, but I do think it is a great platform, and you get a ton of great wrestling and great stuff for the value over there, including events like this, and most of the WXW events that I'm going to be covering as well are also on Triller TV Plus, and I'll mention those as we go along with the results. So, first up, we had the Super Indy 23 quarterfinals. This was a triple threat match where Elijah, the former Elias, defeats Andrew Palace and Cannon Christopher. Finish here was a final reckoning by Elijah, which, you know, I wrote down as a final reckoning. It's you know, basically the finisher that Goldust / Dustin Runnels uses. The spinning vertical suplex, kind of brainbuster for the 1-2-3. So Elijah advances there. After that, we had another quarterfinal match. These rest of these quarterfinals were all singles matches, the first one being a triple threat. But we had a quarterfinal match. Gannon Jones Jr., who is the reigning tournament champion, he won Super Indies last year. He defeats Richard Holiday. The finish of this one was Gannon Jones Jr. hitting a lariat, followed up by Starstruck, which is his version of a double arm DDT for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Sam Holloway over Beef. Hardway Holloway gets the win in a quarterfinal match when he catches Beef coming off the top rope, hits a sit-out chokeslam for the 3 count. Next we had Mila Moore over Alex Crowley. Finish of this one was the facelift, which was like a ripcord eat defeat, or a soul food, whatever you want to call that move. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, drop down on your back, and you know, you bring your opponent's chin right into your foot. 1-2-3 with the facelift, aka ripcord, eat defeat, and that is getting the win for Emile Moore over Alex Crowley. After that, we had another quarterfinal match for Super Indy 23, which was Zach Nystrom over Juventud Guerrera. Nystrom gets the win over Hoovy Juice, the legend, with a delayed jackhammer for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Sam Holloway, aka Hardway Holloway, in a semifinal match defeating Elijah. The finish here was a bit hard to explain, but basically what winds up happening is the ref is down. Elijah hits two jumping knees, and then Justin Plummer and like a bunch of heels come out, and they attack Elijah while Hardway Holloway is down. And because he's face down, like, he doesn't see this happening. He's not really calling for the interference. It just kind of happens because of the feud going on between Plummer and his guys. And Elijah, the finish, which also they played into in the first match of the show, which I didn't really get into, but there was an attack on Elijah after the match by these guys also. The finish here, after the attack from Plummer and those dudes, Holloway goes up top and hits a top rope splash, Mike Awesome style, for the 1-2-3 to advance to the finals. After that, we had another semifinal match where Zach Nystrom defeats Gannon Jones Jr. The finish here was Nystrom hitting his arm was like injured in the match, so he went for the lifting for the delayed jackhammer, but couldn't actually lift Gannon Jones up. So because Nystrom couldn't actually lift him up for the jackhammer, he was able to hook both of his arms and hit a nice package pile driver instead, and that gets the 1-2-3. So Gannon Jones Jr. was going to go for the Starstruck, and it was reversed into the package pile driver for Nystrom to advance to the finals. After that, we had a non-tournament 4-on-3 handicap match where Bill Collier, Duke Davis, Elijah Dean defeat Anthony Katana, Jamie Jameson, Johnny Mahalo, and Tyler Brooks. The finish of this one was Collier hitting a bullhammer elbow on Mahalo and getting the pin. And the main event of the show, the IWC Super Indy Finals, we had Hardway, Sam Holloway, defeat Zach Nystrom to become the tournament champion. The finish was a sit-out chokeslam for the 1-2-3. And this is pretty fitting, guys. If y'all listened to The Weekender, I think it was just last week, I was talking a lot about how Hardway Holloway was someone we needed to keep a lookout for. The guy's only 24 years old. I was trying to, like, do the math in my head, but it says it right here, 24 years old. I was guessing 20 years old, then I looked and did the math wrong on 22 years old. It is definitely 24 years old, at least according to Cage Match. He was trained at AIW through Dominic Guarini and the people at that AIW Academy. Obviously, people I am I'm a big fan of and have a lot of respect for, people that we've interviewed, you know, multiple times over the years for the spotlight. You know, people that are involved with AIW, including Dominic Guarini himself. So, you know, I said it last week that I was actually surprised he's only been around for 2 years, because I thought that when I started covering him on this show within the last, you know, couple years, that he was more of a veteran, more tenured, just because of how good he was. The guy's got a lot of size, and he's just somebody who you just know is going to be a big deal long-term in the grand scheme of things in the world of wrestling. So he's also somebody, I'll throw it out there, that I will try to get on the spotlight for an interview sometime in the near future. I am very, very interested to know more about Hardaway Holloway, but very, very impressive, and a guy we'll talk about a lot in the near future, I'm feeling. You know, we were already covering him fairly consistently here on the show, but he's somebody who's really, really breaking out in the scene right now. And as I mentioned before, if you've never seen him wrestle, he's a young, athletic, good-looking guy, but like, he's big too. Like, he's somebody that I think major companies are gonna have a lot of interest in pretty quickly. That's no insider information or anything like that. That's just, you know, there's some people we just kind of have a hunch about, you know what I mean? And Sam Holloway is one of those guys for me right now for sure. So congratulations to Sam Holloway for winning the IWC Super Indie title with this Super Indie tournament win. All right, moving on, we are going to do a lot of results for WXW. The way I'm going to do this is we have, let's see, I'm going to go quick results for Inner Circle 16 and the majority of the World Tag Team, their tournament. I'm going to do the majority of like the quick results for that, but I'm going to do deep dive results for like half the shows as well as the finals. And you'll know what I mean as I go, but I'm doing this mainly for time purposes, because I don't know how long it's going to take to get through all these, because not only was there like six shows to go through, there's a lot of matches involved as well, and some people I want to deep dive along the way. So we're going to start off with WXW Inner Circle 16. I'm going to do my best to cover these in the order that they actually happen live. I think I've got them in order, but to be honest, it's all kind of a blur, because this was like six events over the span of like 3 days or whatever. This first show we're going to cover was on March 3rd. All of these shows were out of Dutchland. This first one was out of like a different arena than the rest of them, but these were all, this first one was taped, and this one I think was only available on WXWnow.de, but then the rest of them were all available on Triller TV Plus. So I know that sounds a little confusing, and WXW is a company we like never cover here on the Weekender, but similar to IWC, which we just talked about, IWC has been around for like almost 25 years, and it's the same for WXW. WXW is a company that I was familiar with mainly because of Gunther back when he was Walter, but you know, they're a company that I do feel like I want to cover on a more regular basis here on the show, because they put on great events. It's a really, really, really high quality production as far as like the actual presentation of their shows, as well as the talent level of the wrestlers there, and a lot of names here that I'm going to be talking about on, you know, across all these events, that some that I talk about fairly often, some that I have never talked about here on this show. And I'd like to do more of that, you know, discovering more talent, talking about more talent, you know, here on the Weekender. But obviously, it's a bit of a balance, and there's obviously no way to cover everything all across the world. So I generally keep it more, as you all know, I generally keep it more, you know, US-based indies, North American-based indies and stuff. But, you know, I do veer, you know, worldwide occasionally, and this is a company that I feel like I do want to cover on a more consistent basis. Just a matter of like what else is kind of going on. I mean, we even had Action Wrestling titles on the line during these shows, so I mean, that's obviously right in my wheelhouse. So let's go through the results and let's talk about these shows. So first up, we had Inner Circle 16. Started off with a non-title match where Lawrence Roman defeats Axel Tischer, the former Alexander Wolf from the WWE. We had Mad Dog Connolly over Aaron. We had Icarus over Von Vertigo. Elijah Bloom over Thomas Shire. One Called Manders over Anita Vaughn. Shigehiro Irie over Mark Empire. And I do pronounce it Irie. A lot of people say Irie or Irie. Or usually Irie is the one that I hear. I say Irie, and it is specifically because Cole Radrick said that's how you say it. That's 100% why I pronounce it the way that I do. I rarely ever hear anyone use that pronunciation, but apparently from Shigehiro Irie's mouth himself, he told Cole Radrick it is pronounced E-D-A, like the letters E-D-A. So I say it like that because I was told that Cole Radrick was told by Shigehiro that that's how it's pronounced. So just going to say it, just going to put it out there, let everyone know. I'm not mispronouncing. E-D-A is supposedly how it sounds, or how it's said. That's how good my English is right now today. I am so tired. After that, we had Jay Nero over Devlin. In the main event of the show, we had Timothy Thatcher over Fuminari Abe. Going to the World Tag Team Festival Show 1. These were also... So this is where we get into, like, Triller TV Plus. So the rest of these were available on Triller TV Plus. This is from a different building, but also in Deutschland. And this is from October 4th. This show was live, so the last one was taped. Now we're into the live events. We had a pre-show match where Enel Merrick defeats Von Vertigo. And then when the actual show started, we had a first-round match in the tournament. I'll let you know if there's any non-tournament matches. I think the only non-tournament match was the main event on this one. So first round, we had the WXW World Tag Team title on the line, you know, during this tournament as well. So KXS, the team of Fast Time Muto and Axel Tischer, defeat Dennis Dolning and Hector Invictus to become the champions in the first round. So big title change right off the bat in this tournament. Literally the first match of the tournament, the titles change. After that, we had Youngblood, the team of Oscar and Yuto Nakashima, over Elijah Bloom and LSG. After that, we had Abe and Irie over Bobby Guns and Stephanie Mays. We had One Called Manders and Thomas Shire over Hideki Suzuki and Timothy Thatcher. We had High Performer LTD, or High Performer Limited, the team of Icarus and Joseph French Jr. They defeat Y2 Cuties, the team of Jacob Crane and Ava Everett. We had Los Desperados, the team of Gringo Loco and Arez, over Lycos Gym, the team of Kid Lycos and Kid Lycos 2. And the main event of the show, non-tournament, we had the WXW Shotgun title on the line in a three-way match. Lavanuel defends and retains over Ahura and Matt Cardona. And the big claim to fame here is Lavanuel pins Matt Cardona to retain this championship. So huge feather in the cap for Lavanuel, and that is something that will be a little bit of a theme in upcoming shows as well. On to WXW Extreme Wrestling Party. This show was also from October 4th, and this is available on Triller TV Plus. This is where I'll get into more some more detailed results here. So first match we have was Robert Dreisker over Nick Schreier. I love the entrances for this one. Schreier came out, did a full Sandman entrance, like Enter Sandman, with cigarettes and beer, and they did the entire song. So considering this was a hardcore match, that was a very fitting tribute. Very much enjoyed that, the pageantry and all of that. This was a really good match as well. Dreisker gets the win in this one. Basically what winds up happening is he throws Schreier's head through a chair that was set up in the corner, and then hits him with it's like a scoop up spine buster is what I wrote. He basically grabs him by the arm and like pulls him up off the ground and hits a spine buster for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Angela Block over Latigo. The finish of this one was the Desert Eagle, which is basically Angela's version of a landslide, or like the Metalik driver, basically like a like a fireman's carry into a Michinoku driver for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Kiel Holding, the team of Sasha Kiel and Aaron Insane. They defeat the team of Big Bucks, that is Norman Harris and Alex Duke. The special ref in this one is Shigehiro Eda. The finish here, which I gotta mention, Eda is wearing like these little Speedo ref shorts. It was kind of funny. He's the ref during the match, but he does hit his Black Beast Bomber, his version of a lariat, onto Harris towards the end of the match. That allows Kiel to hit a spinning Uranagi onto Duke, followed up by Insane hitting a top rope splash for the 1-2-3 and pinning Duke to get the win for Kiel Holding. After that, we had Axel Fox and Von Vertigo go to a no contest. Basically, what winds up happening is this is all to set up the following match, but Danny Frey, Kelsey Reagan, and Nima come in and attack both of them to cause the no contest. And then M4 and Y2 Cuties, Ava Everett and Jacob Crane, they come out for the save to set up the next match, which is M4 and Y2 Cuties defeating Danny Frey, Kelsey Reagan, and Nima. The finish of this one was M4 hitting a Bray Wyatt-style Uranagi for the 1-2-3. Then what I liked about this is it was a fast match. It was like 3 minutes long, but the Y2 Cuties music played the entire time, which I thought was pretty fun, nice little touch. Made sense for like this, you know, for the situation and in the match and everything. After that, we had a Drunken Ambition match where basically both guys were drinking alcohol throughout the match. We had Abe over Fast Time Muto. The finish here was Abe landing a baseball punch and then Muto not being able to enter the 10 count. Gets counted down by the referee, like boxing style, and Abe gets the win. After that, we had the Action Wrestling World title on the line in a dog collar match. One called Manders defends and retains over Mad Dog Connolly. The finish of this one was Mad Dog trying to put Manders in like a neckbreaker position, which he usually uses to like as like a submission hold to put you in like a neckbreaker, then like lift you up on his back and like force you to tap out. And before he can do that, Manders reverses out of it and pulls the chain towards him, uses it to hit a lariat. Mad Dog kicks out at two, and then Manders hits a short arm lariat, and Mad Dog kicks out at one, and then Manders throws Mad Dog over the top rope, and he basically just hangs him with the dog collar and forces Mad Dog to pass out. And this, you know, obviously this was awesome. This was like a speed run of their matches. Like, this was like an 8 minute long, you know. If y'all want to know more about both these guys, you know, we've had Manders on for an interview. This was a while ago now, like months and months ago, maybe over a year ago now, for the Spotlight. But Manders is a guy that obviously I cover Manders here on the Weekender more than maybe any other wrestler in the world because of how active he is and just always everywhere. I mean, it's amazing the amount of towns and cities and countries this guy is making all over the world. And performing at such a high level and defending the Action Wrestling World Championship along the way now as well, which is just awesome. And if you want to know more about Mad Dog, we just had him on for an interview within like the last month, and we talked to him about how excited he was to go over to this part of the world and have this match with Manders and just be able to go over to Germany. Like, he really I want to let you hear the interview yourselves, because you know, it's something that was really, really important to him to be able to go over there and to wrestle. So this was a really big match for, you know, just, I mean, independent wrestling fans in general, right? But for somebody like me who covers Action Wrestling and the Southeast Indie scene specifically so closely, it's just awesome seeing the Action Wrestling Championship being, you know, defended literally worldwide, and it is a legitimate world championship. And, you know, we've seen Manders and Mad Dog go at it in multiple dog collar matches, bull rope matches, like, you name it, they've done it, and they keep putting on bangers. And I think it's a lot of things, really high praise for both guys coming from me. I feel like it's really, really well deserved. You know, what's it matter really at the end of the day what I think? But I think I kind of speak for all wrestling fans who are fans of, you know, these two guys, that we really appreciate the work that both these guys are putting in all over the world right now. The main event of the show, speaking of guys putting in work all over the world, we had a TLC match where Mike DeVecco defeats Gringo Loco. DeVecco is somebody who, you know, he has not really been on my radar, but he's been around, like, I've known of him. He's been around for over a decade, but he's someone I really want to cover more often because he's super, super talented. It looks like he has all the tools. I mean, he was one of the guys that was really highlighted throughout these shows going forward, like the results I'm going to be going through. A lot of the show seemed to, you know, there were certain guys that I could tell were kind of some of the main stars of the promotion, and I could tell that Mike DeVecco is one of them. Also, Robert Dreisker, I could tell, is one of them. I could tell that Nick Schreier is someone that they're really trying to build on right now as well. Like, you can tell that there's big plans for a lot of these people, and DeVecco, I feel like, is just very, very, very talented. Great size, great look, athletic, muscular. I mean, looks like a pro wrestler, looks like an athlete. It can really go out there, can do power moves, but it can also do high flying stuff. I mean, this was really good stuff. So the main event, and of course, I mean, Gringo Loco, I don't want to like just gloss over that. Gringo Loco, I've said it 1,000 times, the smoothest pro wrestler in the world. I am such a huge Gringo Loco fan. I'm so happy to see the success that this guy has had. I remember seeing him like 7-8 years ago when I would go to St. Louis for Glory Pro shows, and he was like new back then, and he was like trying to figure himself out, but like you could tell he was like a really ambitious guy who like was really trying to bring Lucha to a different level, but he was new and like he needed to prove himself, you know. And at this point, he's now known as like one of the top guys in the world doing what he's doing, which I just think is super, super cool. And he's a very, very nice guy. Another guy I've been very fortunate to be able to interview multiple times. He's one of the guys that whenever I'm at GCW shows, he usually like goes out of his way to want to talk to me, which I can't tell you how much I appreciate that kind of stuff. Like whenever I go to these indie shows, especially if I, you know, given any sort of tickets or if somebody knows I'm going to be at the show, you know, I feel a bit obligated to at least get some sort of content for Fightful, you know, like you kind of, you know, they're doing me a favor by, you know, giving me access to their show. I'm going to do them what I can to, you know, help promote, you know, make it feel like they're not wasting their time by letting me around, you know. And part of that for me is making sure when I'm at these center stage shows, especially at GCW, that I at least get a few audio interviews with people that are, you know, performing on the show or people that I know are affiliated with Game Changer Wrestling or other indie wrestlers that I just know are there at the event, even if they're just watching as fans. And Gringo Loco is somebody that all I've got to do is, like, we make eye contact and he tells me, like, you know, where to go wait for him, basically. So I appreciate him a lot on a personal level and as a fan of his work. So I can't say enough good things about both these guys. This was great stuff. And the finish of this one, by the way, was a bit brutal, but it was not really either of their faults. DeVecco hits a shooting star press off of the top of a ladder, which was supposed to go through a table with Gringo, but he hits Gringo like off the table. But this was like a Japanese table type situation. This thing was not going to break. So DeVecco with a nice shooting star press onto a table that doesn't break off a ladder, onto Gringo Loco, gets the pin, 1-2-3. Next we have the World Tag Team Festival. This is show 2. So I'm going to just go through the results quick on this one, and then we'll go more to detailed results for the last two WXW shows. So first up, we had a pre-show match where Hector Invictus defeated Alex Duke, LSG, and Mark Empire in a four-way. When the actual show started, we had the semifinals of the Tag Team Festival. This was Youngblood, the team of Oscar and Nakashima, over Icarus and Joseph Fenech Jr. We had Hideki Suzuki over Bobby Guns. We had another semifinal match in the tournament with the titles on the line. KSX, the team of Axel Tischer and Fast Time Muto, defend and retain over Los Desperados, the team of Gringo Loco and Arez. We had Maggot over Robin Christopher by disqualification. Robin Christopher also did multiple segments throughout all of these events as like the mouthpiece and manager of High Performance Limited. So or High Performance LTD. I'm go back and forth with how I'm supposed to actually pronounce that. We're just gonna say High Performance. That's a lot easier. That way we're all on the same page. High Performance is like the stable that he's like the mouthpiece of, the manager for. He's in a lot of these people's corners throughout these shows as well. We had another semifinal match where Manders and Thomas Shire defeated Abe and Ida. We had Ahura over Timothy Thatcher. We had the WXW European title on the line. Mike DeVecco defeats Angela Blanc to become the new champion. And then in the main event of the show, we had the WXW Unified World Wrestling title on the line in a triple threat match. Peter Tiani defeats Lawrence Roman and Robert Dreisker in the main event to become the new champion. The finish here, if I remember correctly, I didn't write this one down, but I'm trying to remember. It was, I know Tahini dropped, or broke up a pinfall right at the end with a 450 splash, and then followed up pinning Dreisker to win the championship that Roman was holding going into the show. So that is Tag Team Festival Part 2. Then we go into Femme Fatale. So I'm going to give you all the results for Femme Fatale. And then we'll go into the final results for Tag Team Festival Part 3. So, all right, moving into Femme Fatale 2024. This was from October 6th and also available on Triller TV Plus. And this is a all-women show, including a tournament. So it starts with a semis, so it goes semis and then finals for the tournament itself, but then I'll tell you when there's non-title matches. So first two matches we have are for the Femme Fatale 2024 tournament. We have Anita Vaughn over Rio in the opener. The finish here was, I think they just called it the sit outside slam. It's basically like a world's strongest slam position, and then like a swing out into like almost a sidewalk slam. So we're going to call it a sit outside walk slam, or a sit outside slam. So we're going to call it a sit outside slam by Anita Vaughn to advance to the finals. After that, we had another semifinal match where Debbie Keitel defeats Jane Nero. The finish of this one was Keitel hitting Nero with a knee to the chest and then follows up with the Midnight Espresso, which is basically her version of the Angel's Wings for the 1-2-3. So the finals is going to be Anita Vaughn versus Debbie Keitel. We have a tag team match where Venom and Violence, the team of Dev Lynn and Kelsey Reagan, defeat Anastasia Bardot and Calypso. The finish here was Reagan hitting, I call it the Crucifix Code Red. That's the best way I can describe it. It's like similar to a sunset flip, but instead of doing the sunset flip, you do a crucifix bomb for the 1-2-3. Really nice move, and I've talked about her using this move in the past on this show as well. I think I always call it the Crucifix Code Red. After that, we had Ava Everett over Tank. Everett had Jacob Crane and M4 in her corner for this one. The finish here was Tank missing a spear in the corner and hitting her head onto the ring post. And Ava Everett takes advantage of that, rolls up Tank with a schoolboy for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a no DQ match where Stephanie Mays defeats Jessie J. The finish here was a superplex. Oh, this was a no disqualification match. I don't know if I mentioned that, but the finish of this was a superplex onto a bunch of open chairs that had thumbtacks all over the place as well for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a four-way match where Madison Marley defeats Deanna Strong, Ava Kolaski, and Reika. The finish of this one was, where did I put this? I just lost my notes. I'm not going to edit this either. There it is. It was a top rope diving code breaker. Oh, that's right. That was actually really nice. That's exactly how it sounds. Off the top rope diving code breaker by Madison Marley for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Baby Allison with Robin Christopher in their corner over Sasha Mora. The finish of this one was a back roll into the exorcism for the tap out submission win. The exorcism is a Muda lock, and the back roll was, I call it Lance Storm style, because that's like the person I think, you know, did the best. And that's the first person I remember as a fan really like utilizing this you know, way of flowing into a move. But basically, if y'all remember the way that Lance Storm would sometimes do like a back somersault right into his half crab, that was basically the setup for this right into the Muda lock, which they call the exorcism, and forces Sasamura to tap out. And the main event of the show, the Femme Fatale finals, we had Anita Vaughn over Debbie Keitel. The finish of this one was a Michinoku driver by Vaughn, but Debbie kicks out at one. Then she hits that sit-out side slam that she won the opening match with and gets a kick out at two from Debbie. And Anita just doesn't waste any time, hits a sit-out powerbomb, pins Debbie, 1-2-3. Anita Vaughn is the 2024 Femme Fatale Tournament Champion. And the last set of results we got for WXW, we got the World Tag Team Festival 2024. This show was from October 6th, so yesterday technically, or 2 days ago whenever y'all hear this. And this is also available on Triller TV Plus. We had a pre-show match where Big Bucks, the team of Norman Harris and Alex Duke, defeated Lycos Jim, the team of Kid Lycos and Kid Lycos 2. Once the actual show started, we had the WXW European title on the line. It's spelled like DeVecchio, but it's DeVecchio. I have to keep training myself to say it correctly. Defeats Nick Schreier. The finish of this one was DeVecchio catching Schreier's spear attempt, which I've never seen this before. Schreier goes for just a running spear, and DeVecchio literally just catches him. Selling the spear, just catches him, and then does what I wrote down as a big swing doctor bomb. So basically he's got him in the position on this before you swing him into the doctor bomb. He's got him held like that, just swinging around in circles, pulls him up, sit out doctor bomb, 1-2-3. This is super impressive. Love this stuff. And after the match, DeVecchio endorses Schreier and shakes his hand and holds his arm up and everything, endorses him. After that, we had Hector Invictus over Angle Blanc. The finish here was a powerbomb followed up by a Shining Wizard for the 1-2-3. After that, we had High Performer, the combination of Anil Merrick, Icarus, and Joseph Fenech Jr. over Axel Fox, LSG, and Von Vertigo. This is a six-person tag team match. The finish here was Merrick hitting a double arm DDT onto Fox and getting the 1-2-3 for their team. After that, we had Peter Tiani over fake Elijah Bloom. This was literally 15 seconds long. Tiani, this is how it sounds. So this was not Elijah Bloom. This was a fake Elijah Bloom. Tiani hits Parting Gift, which is Bloom's finisher, on the fake Bloom. And it's basically a double underhook suplex. And then the real Bloom comes out with a pipe to clear house after the match. After that, we had a six-person tag team match where Hideki Suzuki, Shigehiro Ida, and Timothy Thatcher defeat Los Desperados, the team of Arez, Gringo Loco, and Latigo. The finish of this one was Timothy Thatcher locking in a Fujiwara armbar onto Arez and forcing Arez to tap out. After that, we had Robert Dreisker over Aaron. The finish of this one was the scoop up spine buster again, pulling him up out of the corner right into a spine buster for the three count. After that, we had Abe over Mad Dog Connolly. The finish of this one was Abe reversing a clothesline attempt by Connolly, rolling up a schoolboy, and then getting the bridge across the feet for extra leverage, the legs of Connolly for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the WXW shotgun title on the line. Anita Vaughn defeats Levaniel to become the new champion. Before the match, Levaniel attacks Anita Vaughn and talks trash on the microphone about how they had just pinned Matt Cardona the day before. And that doesn't wind up really mattering, because by the end of the match, what winds up going down is Levaniel hits his Galactic Face Crusher, which is a Sister Abigail. He goes for a lazy pin onto Vaughn, and Vaughn wraps him up on a crucifix pin to reverse his pin and gets the 1-2-3 to become the new champion. And the main event of the show, we had the WXW World Tag Team titles on the line in the Tag Team Festival 2024 finals. This was a three-way elimination match. This all comes down to the finish, which was Oscar hitting a lariat onto Muto, following up with a last ride, and Youngblood is the tournament champions and leave as the WXW World Tag Team champions as well. So a lot of WXW that we just covered there, and as I said a little earlier, it is a company that I do want to try to pay attention to closer and cover on a more regular basis. So the only challenges with something like that, with it being on a whole different part of the world, is the timing. So, like, for instance, two of the shows I just covered happened technically this morning and this afternoon. So, you know, sometimes it will be tough to do because of, you know, when I have to record the show. For instance, if I had to record this, like, early in the morning for whatever reason, I wouldn't be able to get all those results in. But y'all know how it goes. I do my best to cover whatever I can for y'all as far as, like, you know, getting the biggest stuff out there on the indies, or at least getting my thoughts out there, getting names out there, and getting promotions out there and stuff like that. So want to definitely talk more WXW in the future. Moving on, let's talk some NWA. This is NWA Power. So as I've talked about many times before, here and on the Spotlight, NWA has a big problem, or a big kind of crossroads that they're coming across right now when it comes to a lot of stuff with their company, I feel like. You know, MLW had similar problems, you know, just a couple years ago when they were pre-taping stuff super in advance, and then, like, the whole wrestling world would forget about it, or, you know, by the time it actually aired months and months later. I thought it was a bad move having EC3 watch week. Well, we'll get to this because, well, we're here now, right? We can talk about what's going on. I think that having a show, you know, I'm gonna do the results first, and then I'm gonna give my thoughts on the actual company and the state of their distribution. Okay, let's do it that way. That's easier. So this is NWA 76. This show aired finally on October 1st, and it aired on X. So I'm gonna talk about that in a second. The show kicked off with Billy Corgan out in the ring talking about the history of the National Wrestling Alliance. This results in the Blue Meanie coming out. The two of them dance together, and that's kind of the opening of the show. And before I forget to mention, the actual NWA 76 show, when it was taped, they taped, like, a bunch of NWA Power's worth of, like, future shows with that. So this, what I'm covering right now, is just two matches, that just the first two that have actually aired, but this whole event is going to be, like, split up amongst, you know, many episodes of Power, as I'm sure y'all would imagine is the case. But just to clarify, as far as the actual first match of this show, the first of two, we had the NWA World Tag Team titles on the line. Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch defend and retain their titles over the Southern Six, combination of Kerry Morton and Alex Taylor. The finish of this one was the High Low by Knox and Murdoch to get the win and pin Kerry Morton to retain. And the only other match we had was the main event, which was the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Tom Latimer defeats EC3 to become the champion. He gets the win when the referee takes a chair from EC3. When that happens, Latimer takes advantage and hits a low blow, follows up with a pop-up powerbomb, and then the Brighter Side of Suffering, his version of a sit-up pop-up powerbomb, sit-out pop-up powerbomb for the 1-2-3. I've already talked about this at length, you know, the last couple months, because, I mean, this show was taped, like, 3 months ago, so, you know, I'm very happy for Tom Latimer. I think it's kind of a bummer for him that, like, this was taped so in advance, and that this isn't going to get the kind of attention it probably should. EC3 had a decent run with the belt. It was pretty underwhelming in the grand scheme of things, but, like, there's not a whole lot he can do about that. You know, it's more of a company issue than, like, a him issue. I mean, we had that super long title run of Tyrus before EC3, and that got, like, all the wrong attention on the NWA for a while. Then they went through this whole thing of, like, the distribution, which I want to talk about a little bit. So they have, you know, the NWA was really at their best in recent years when all their stuff, all their Power episodes, pretty much everything they were doing was just for free on their YouTube channel. And I know that there's reasons that you want to do stuff with CW and you want to do stuff with, you know, other platforms and stuff like that. I, I get there's various reasons, but as like a consumer of the product, as like a fan and somebody who covers it, the CW app and website was not good for them. Like any the little amount of viewership that they had on a consistent basis, I guarantee you they lost a good chunk of it when they went to the CW app. And that's not to say that CW is going to be a bad spot for the WWE, but obviously the WWE has like it's a night and day complete difference as far as like the value in those two brands, obviously, right? Like the WWE is going to get views, they're going to get clicks, they're going to get viewers. Like it's the WWE, it's the McDonald's of pro wrestling. Like it's the Golden Arches. Like turn the McDonald's Golden Arches upside down, it's a W. I mean, it's like that's the WWE. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's obviously there's one's a worldwide conglomerate, the other is like barely scraping by, it seems, month to month. I mean, even to the point where Billy Corgan's speech at the beginning of the show is all about how the NWA is not going anywhere as long as he is in charge, you know? So it's like if you had any doubts, Billy Corgan's gonna keep this thing around no matter what. But as far as the distribution goes, I like the idea, I like the innovativeness or whatever you want to call it, of doing this on X instead of on like through CW. But really they should have done this right on their YouTube channel probably. The problem with distributing video on X is that, at least to my knowledge, I don't think there's like an X video app, like a standalone app. Like I can't get on my PS5 or my Switch or whatever and like download the X video app. And the reason that's a problem is because I know me personally, I strongly prefer to watch wrestling on a screen, like on a TV screen versus a mobile device. And basically I mean you can cast stuff, right? Like so I mean you can do like Apple Play, AirPlay. There's ways to cast your mobile device onto your television screen, but there's like the multiple points of it's hard to explain. It doesn't seem like a big deal. It really shouldn't be, but it is. Where like it's like the barriers to entry. It's the multiple barriers to entry, and that's gonna turn people off. Like people want to be able to just know where it is, click a button, and watch it. They don't want to, oh, I have to go to Twitter. I have to find the right Twitter account. I have to find the post where they have streamed the video. And then I have to stream that, and then I have to connect that device to a larger device, and then, in that sense too, like I can't really use my phone because every time I close X, then, to like look at a text message or something like that, I can't do that because it's gonna close the video or whatever. So I'm just put it out there, like YouTube, you just go to the YouTube app on any device that anyone has, and you can just find the show for free. But I do appreciate the idea of more videos on X. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like super massively anti-Elon Musk. Like, I have, I think he's, I'm not his biggest fan either in a lot of ways, but like, I also don't like just outright hate him. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where like, I like the idea of more places that people can upload free videos and potentially make money doing that. But, for the NWA, that's not really the move. The WWE is like testing the waters with speed, right? But they're not making that the distribution to their major shows. This is just like a more of like a of a way of gaining new eyes and new fans potentially of like non-wrestling fans scrolling through X and being like, "Oh, this match was cool. I'm gonna watch WWE now. I never really gave this a shot." The NWA, I feel like, is, there's not a lot of people who are going to just like come across the NWA and then decide to become like longtime NWA fans based on seeing a random X video. I feel like the majority of the people who'd be interested in watching NWA 76 are probably more of that of like an older wrestling generation to begin with. And on top of that, it's going to be people who just, I feel like, just don't want to go so out of their way to watch the show. And that's probably why they lost so much buzz and so much of their audience and stuff when they moved to the CW app. Because, like I said, when I was covering those shows through that app, you literally have to go to the website and or the app, however you want to do it. You have to find the actual NWA power page. Then you have to find the right season because they don't filter it by like the most recent episode. So you have to find the most recent episode, and then once you click that, you're going to deal with, like, some of the ads are longer than the actual matches. Like, you're just sitting there watching advertisements for half of the show, and it's like, and then a lot of the time it's not even a very good show. So, like, I can only imagine. So anyway, those are all my thoughts on kind of the state of all this. I'm happy for Tom Latimer. I wish that, you know, being the NWA champion in 2024 meant more than it does, but the thing that I always want to keep in mind too is there's a lot of people out there who I'm a big fan of who do work for the NWA or have worked for the NWA or who want to work for the NWA, and I don't want to, you know, be super down on the product all the time. I think that they had a really good Back to the Territories episode a week ago, which I covered here on the show. I thought 2 weeks before that though was really, really bad. You know, it's super hot or cold, it's super hit or miss. But yeah, this is coming from somebody who wants to see the NWA succeed. I don't get joy out of, like, trash-talking the company or, like, making fun of certain things that just don't make sense, you know? I do want them to succeed. So, we'll see what happens going forward, but I am happy for Tom Latimer. I just wish that the wrestling world could have seen his win over EC3 for the championship live, you know? This should have been live on their YouTube channel. That's the bottom line. All right. Moving on, let's do some predictions for WrestleDream. We're going to do WrestleDream predictions, then we'll do some quick Ring of Honor spoilers before we get out of here. But first we'll do WrestleDream predictions. I'll do some deeper dive predictions on the Spotlight with Jeremy on Thursday morning. That is every Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Spotlight on Fightful Overbooked. Please watch the show and check us out over there. We appreciate everyone who watches us. There was somebody in our chat, I wish I had their name off the top of my head. There was somebody in our chat the other day, or this past Thursday. I caught the comment just in the corner of my eye, and I didn't address it, but somebody said, they were like, "You're my favorite show, except for Grapsody." I was like, you know what? I was doing pretty good. I'm glad that there's somebody out there. Like, Grapsody's hard to compete with, right? They're a great show. They're very well established. Those guys are awesome. They do great work. I got nothing against Grapsody. So if I can be your number two favorite show behind Grapsody, I'll definitely take that. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, if there's anybody out there who your favorite show for Fightful is The Weeknd, or if there's anyone out there that's like, my favorite show of all the shows that they're out there for Fightful is The Weeknder podcast, I really appreciate you. I doubt there's anyone. There's so many good options on these platforms. There's so many good. So to be someone's second favorite, I do appreciate that. Anyways, let's get into some predictions for WrestleDream. The show's coming up on October 12th. And also, by the way, October 12th is going to be GCW's Art of War Games and also the return of Cole Radrick. So hopefully we'll get Cole in the spotlight soon, too, to hype up that return. But yeah, going to be a big weekend. Also, if things go as planned, in 2 weeks. So that day, we're supposed to be recording an interview, actually, the same day as this show. So it's like a 12 p.m. interview if it goes down. We're going to be doing a 12 p.m. interview, me and Jeremy, because the guy we want to interview, which is Starbuck, if y'all know Starbuck, out of Finland, they have a massive time difference from us. But we're trying to get them on the show. We've been trying to make it happen for a while. So we're trying to do a Starbuck interview on October 12th, and then I'm going to watch WrestleDream and watch GCW, so it should be a pretty fun Saturday coming up. As far as the predictions, we got Atlantis Jr. versus Brian Cage defending the ROH TV Championship. I might take Brian Cage to win that thing. As far as the actual show, I'm sure there's going to be more matches added to this. I don't have everything in front of me, just kind of what Wikipedia's got, but by Thursday we might have more matches to talk about. But I'm going to take Mark Briscoe to defend and retain the ROH World Championship over Chris Jericho. I'm going to take Darby Allin over Brody King. I'll take Jack Perry to defend and retain the TNT Championship over Kazuchika Shibata. This should be a really good one. I've been a longtime Shibata fan. It's still a bit surreal seeing him, like, as regular as we do on AEW and doing this whole thing now with, like, you know, talking through Google voice translations and stuff like that. But this is a matchup I never thought I'd see. Just very random. A lot of these are kind of random in certain ways, but, like, I'm looking forward to this one in, like, a different type of way, if that makes sense. We got Will Ospreay defending the AEW International Championship against Ricochet and Takeshita. This is a really tough one to call. I don't think Ricochet is going to win, and I do think that we're going to get Ospreay and Ricochet again sometime in the near future. And when we do, will the International Championship be on the line, or will maybe a bigger championship be on the line? Like, will Ospreay be in, like, the world title contention level by the time that happens again? I don't know. But they're clearly pushing Takeshita pretty heavy, and I don't know. I'm actually going to take Takeshita to pin Ricochet in this one. After that, we've got the Young Bucks to defend and retain over Private Party. I do think that they'll retain in that one. But, you know, Private Party does have the history with the Young Bucks. Beat them in the first round of that tag tournament like 5 years ago that they keep bringing up every time they talk about Private Party. So, yeah, I still think the Young Bucks win here to retain. We've got Mariah May to defend the AEW Women's World Championship against the winner of the Title Tuesday match between Britt Baker and Willow Nightingale. I don't know who's going to win. I mean, regardless of who wins that match, I'm going to take Mariah May to retain. And then what I'm assuming is the main event of the show, we got Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. I'm going to say Danielson defends and retains the championship over Moxley, but I do really like this story, and I am very interested to see, you know, who is pulling the strings behind the scenes for this whole Blackpool Combat Club invasion and everything that's been going on with Moxley and him alluding to, you know, somebody new kind of being behind the scenes, and a lot of people speculating that could be Shane McMahon, which would be very interesting for a lot of reasons for sure. I'm on board for that. I'm open-minded enough to, you know, see how that plays out if that is what's going down, but there's a lot of options. I see a lot of people, a lot of speculation that Sami Callihan could be brought in soon, which I think is very likely. If I had to bet on that, I would bet that Sami Callihan's coming in soon. Yeah, nonetheless, I do think Bryan Danielson retains in this one, because I don't think his full-time career is over just yet. I think there's more for him to accomplish, but I'm very, very intrigued by everything going on, and I'm looking forward to WrestleDream. All right, last thing we got to cover here, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We're going to cover Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers for Honor Club. If you don't want spoilers, go ahead and turn the show off right now. I appreciate y'all listening. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com before you leave. And for those of you who are sticking around, let's do some quick Ring of Honor spoilers. I'm just putting the timestamps in the description right now real quick so I can upload this and then go to sleep, because as I said, I am tired. It is super late right now. This is going to be a real late upload for y'all. Ring of Honor spoilers. These were from the Collision tapings, which actually took place not on Saturday this week. This was on the 3rd of October. And these are the spoilers coming at you. We got the Spanish Announce Project, team of Serpentico and Angelico over Derek Dillinger and Ren Jones. Shout out to Derek Dillinger, longtime fan, mainly of their work in AIW. We talked about him a lot over the years. The ROH World titles on the line, heavyweight championship on the line, it looks like. Mark Briscoe defends retains over Josh Woods. We had the ROH World Women's Championship Proving Ground match where Athena defeats Lady Frost, so Lady Frost will not be getting a title shot. We had Shane Taylor Promotions, combination of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty over the Infantry, combination of Carly Bravo and Sean Dean. We got Lance Archer over Sam Beal. The ROH World Women's TV title on the line, Red Velvet defends and retains over Diamante by disqualification. We have the New Japan Strong Openweight title on the line, Gabe Kidd defends and retains over Anthony Henry. I bet that match was an absolute banger. I'm definitely going out of my way to watch that one. We had Billy Starks over Ella Elizabeth. Shout out to Billiam. I wish we covered Billy more often on the show still. You know, she's one of my favorites in the world. Y'all know how I feel about her. I've been a fan of hers literally since she was a teenager. But, like, you know, it's tough because she doesn't do the indies as often as she used to for obvious reasons. You know, being signed, being a big star now. She's still grinding, obviously, but, you know, obviously a big star. And not doing as many indie dates as she used to. And because I just cover the Ring of Honor spoilers here on the show, you know, I just kind of keep up with the matches here for y'all, but, you know, because I don't cover the actual weekly Honor Club show for, you know, any Fightful platform, you know, we don't get to cover Billy as often as I'd like to, you know, as we have over the years. But, you know, it's almost like some of these talents, it's like they kind of graduate beyond me. You know, it's like I can get interviews with them when I'm able to before they make it too big. I'm able to stay in touch with a lot of these people, but like I know that they get busy. And I also, you know, cover a lot of talent that, you know, goes on to bigger and better things. And, you know, I don't get to cover them as often because they're not on all the shows that I cover as often anymore, you know. It is what it is, but I'm very, very happy with the success of Billy Starks, as I'm sure you all know. And the, looks like the main event, we had Katsuhiro Shibata over Brandon Cutler. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at FightTalk _. Please use code FightTalk at IndependentWrestling.tv. And please watch the spotlight on Fightful Overbooked every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of pro wrestling, talk AEW. We'll be doing more deep dive Wrestle Dream predictions. We talk WWE. I'll be talking about my Bad Blood experience live in Atlanta. We talk indies. We'll probably cover some more of the stuff we talked about today in other categories, stuff like the NWA and, you know, MLW, other stuff, other kind of like the ones that are kind of between the majors and the indies, if that makes sense. So we cover everything over there on Fightful Overbooked, and everything also shows up on Fightful.com. Best way to follow my work, honestly, is just to go to Fightful.com and just search for Steven Jensen as an author. All my stuff pops up right there. So that said, till next weekend, I've been Steven Jensen. Enjoy some professional wrestling and Skull Vikings.